We are so very fortunate to have as today's speaker a true exemplar of service to the wider community. Pat McCulley, a Unitarian Universalist from Huntington Beach, is the founder of the nonprofit organization Círculo de Amigas, or Circle of Friends. A Spanish teacher for 20 years, Pat first visited Nicaragua in 1983, and after returning in subsequent years and exploring the remote areas, she felt compelled to do something to be of help with the extreme poverty, especially as it affected girls and women. Her organization was the result, and it's had wide-reaching impact. Let's welcome a longtime friend of our congregation, Pat McCulley.
It's a real pleasure to be here. It's been quite a while, but we have been in contact with our wonderful group that sends the bags down, your shopping bags, cut and ready to be put into our nice little tote bags that we have for sale in the back. And the women that make them, it means a tremendous amount to them because they can make enough just selling two of those bags to make as much as they would earn working as a domestic 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that is amazing that they can do that. And it makes such a difference in their lives and the lives of their families. And many of you have bought those bags, and I've seen them around. And I want to tell you that the people who sponsor three of the girls here from this church, who have been sponsoring Argentina for some time, and she's now going into her last year of high school next year, and she's a beautiful girl, got a 97% average. She's very intelligent, and right now we're worried that she may have to leave school to help her parents because the mother just had another baby. Can you imagine? She's got a 19-year-old and now a newborn. But there are only four altogether, so it's not like, I think this was kind of one of those last-minute mistakes, you know, that happens all the time. But for another young woman, Katiela, and is sponsoring Katie, who's 11. And it makes such a difference in the lives of these girls, you can't imagine. They would have no hopes of going to school without that sponsorship. The poverty in Nicaragua is incredible. You cannot understand here in our lives what it's like down there to live in a one-room, dirt-floor little house, have to haul water, maybe have the option to sign up for or to connect to potable water and have a flush toilet, but not be able to afford the connection or the toilet. It is the poverty is just not imaginable for us. And I have one little girl that I like to tell her story. This is Ana Celia, who was selling tortillas. That bucket on her head was full of tortillas, and she would go door to door selling tortillas after her mother finished making them. And a young man was there from Spain. It was a health group that came and helped with us for a while. And he said, I want to sponsor Ana Celia to go to school. And you don't need to send me a receipt because I see what you do. Well, Ana Celia was working all day, and I said, Agustin, I don't think she can go to school. She'd go in the evening. She'd be too tired to learn. Well, find me another little girl. Then it occurred to me to ask Ana Celia what time she got up in the morning. She said 5 o'clock. I said, what time do you go out selling? Oh, about noon after my mom makes the tortillas. I said, well, then you could go to the little school up the road there near where you live. It's in the morning, and don't you want to learn to read and write? And because I was asking her, because she would always come by after selling, and she would look at all the pretty colored storybooks that I had for the kids, and I knew she was enjoying them. And she said, oh, yeah, I would like to learn, she said, but we can't afford pencils and notebooks and shoes and a uniform. Can you imagine not being able to afford pencils? Mother said if she stopped making tortillas for one day, the kids wouldn't eat. If Ana Celia didn't sell all of the tortillas on her trip downtown, they would have to eat those tortillas at night with salt, and that would be their dinner because they wouldn't have money to buy anything different. So she went, I put her in school. I asked her mother if she could put her in school if we gave her that stipend. She said, oh, of course. She went into school at the age of 13, and I have a picture of her in that first grade class. She doesn't look at all out of place because she's so tiny. She fit right in. In a year, she was reading and writing. When mother came down, she signed for the stipend with an X. And I sent that receipt to Agustin. And I said, this one you've got to see. You have broken the cycle. So he started sending the money for her. And she went through that first year when I got the receipt with her signature on it, Ana Celia Blandón. And I said, sent that to Agustin. You've got to see this one. And when I went down, I had a bunch of books that someone had given me, and I had Ana Celia pick the first one. I said, you have the choice. There were all Scholastics in Spanish, different titles, and when she chose one, I said, now read to me. She read the first page, stumbling a bit here and there and having to sound out a word, but she went through it, and I said, now, you sit down and write a letter to Agustin and tell him that because of you, you can read, and because of him, you can read and write. And you'll never have to sign your name with an X. Well, she went through sixth grade, then went off with a guy that promised her the moon, and as usual, and then he left her. She came back, and she would come by and ask to borrow a book from me. And she would take it and read it and bring it back. And I thought, you'd like to go back to school, wouldn't you? And she said, yeah. She was working as a domestic. And I got a sponsor for her. And now she is back in school learning, doing high school. And my psychologist, Flor, in charge of the sponsored girl, says she's a different person. Going to school has made her blossom to where she feels so confident and so happy. And it just shows that we do allow for second chances. And that is important. I think most of us have somewhere along in our lives had a second chance. But it is so important for the, as much for the children as for the sponsors. I think the sponsors have a wonderful experience and feel so good about what they're doing. I know that taking care of one little girl, the head has Argentina. Argentina is 19 and she's kind of late in school. She's finishing high school next year. It's a 5-year high school. But it often happens because people like Ana Celia will start school at 13. They come in from the countryside where there was no school, and the school will take them at whatever age. So you may find them quite old getting out of high school. But I think this girl should really go on to college. I certainly hope we can keep her in school. But the family situation is terrible. But I'd like for my friend to tell you her experience with being a sponsor. I think any one of you three that sponsor could tell us a few things about how it feels to be a sponsor. Will you come up?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us today. I want to tell you about my experience with sponsoring a child in Círculo de Amigas. I first came to know about this organization in about the year 2000. I moved out here from Maryland, and I'm a physician, and I didn't know Spanish. And I found that to be a great disadvantage. So I went to school at IVC, and I met Z, who some of you may have met. She's a professor in Spanish, and one of the things that we had to do was a project to show that we knew some Spanish, and one of the possibilities of things that we could choose from was to write letters to little girls down in Nicaragua. And I thought, well, that looks easy enough. I can string a few little sentences together and write a note. And it started out with just a few little dollars that we would spend. And I said to my husband, you know, we should probably sponsor a little girl to go to school. We could give up a dinner here or not entertain ourselves as well there, or maybe not buy so many things at the store or whatever. And that is the money right there. And he said, well, you don't know a whole lot about this. Go find out something. And so I met up with Pat. I was so impressed. The organization has, of course, a Nicaraguan staff and a staff up here. All of the money that is accumulated in the organization is given directly to the girls. Some is taken up to give out water for the families. There's a program for that. There's a program to give out stoves, gas stoves, so that there's not so much smoke and fire and they can cook more cleanly. There's programs for nutrition for the children to receive nutrition. There's preschools to start the children out and get them through all the way to college. So I went back with this information all happy and I said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, you are one who really likes to empower women. Give it a try. So I started writing more frequently and took up with a specific girl. Her name is Hunea, and Hunea is now a second year in high school. And, of course, in the time that we wrote back and forth to each other, I'm a physician, and I said to her, you know, this is what I do. And she said, I want to be that. And it seemed like everything that I was, she was mirroring, and it was almost, you know, little pieces of my heart were taken away with these beautiful little things that she would say. And I was like, well, you know, you have to work really hard in school if you want to do that, and you have to bring back really great grades. Well, she's done all of that. She gets A's and B's, and she's one of the lights of the program, and I don't know what influence I possibly could have had, but it just makes me feel wonderful to have given that service to her. So I think as Unitarians, one of the things that you say in here is that service is your prayer. I think that's so beautiful. I would say an extension of that is your service is an answer to these girls' prayers of, can I get out of this poverty? Can I move myself into a new place where I can give something out in the world that's a beautiful light for me? And this program certainly is that opportunity. So I've had nothing but a great experience, and I thank you, Pat, for making this a possibility for so many. We now sponsor about 100 girls.
Over 100.
Over
100 now.
So if ever there's a chance that you can unearth a little money to sponsor a child, oh my gosh, I would say you'd get so much from it. It would not only be a gift to them, but in the service that you do, a gift in your own heart that you've done such a great thing. So I would encourage anybody who has even a little possibility to say yes to this one.
Thank you, dear. I would like to add just a couple of things that Gail did for this youngster. For one thing, she now has a bed to sleep in and a mattress on the bed where she did not before. And she has a gas stove and a nice, clean little house with a flush toilet. And she had the most awful mouth I have ever seen, with teeth going every which way. And she got orthodontia for her. And I have a picture of her there that I gave Gail with this big, wide smile. Before, that child would not smile. She has a lovely smile, and she's going to be a beautiful young woman. So it does make a huge difference in their lives. But maybe Debbie would like to say something about what it means to her to sponsor.
Well, the little girl that I sponsor is Katie, and she's 11 years old and just finishing up in elementary school. And I remember when I first started sponsoring her, her grades were, you know, not so good, and one of the ladies from Nicaragua emailed me and said, oh, she's, you know, she's kind of a so-so student. She tries hard and all of that. And I would get her report cards that they send every 6 months or so. And, you know, her grades were all at 70s, 80s. But she always got 100 in citizenship. And, you know, gradually I've seen the grades improve. And I just got one of her report cards a couple of weeks ago, and most of her scores were in the 90s, and there were quite a few hundreds, and so she's really made a lot of progress, and it's been really fun for me to get her letters periodically, because she's, you know, like most little girls that age, she has all these little pictures and everything all around the letters, And so it's been fun to learn about her and her family. And last Christmas, they sent me pictures of their whole family. So I know I've really appreciated, getting to know Katie a little bit and somewhat about her family.
Thank you, dear.
Randy, would you like to say a word?
Well, this is my third girl I sponsored, and her name is Francesca. But what I want to share with you is pretty cute. And she's 13 now, and I think I've been sponsoring her about 2 or 3 years. And of the three girls I've sponsored, she has been the most fun. She writes me a lot, and she's very lively. She's not a super good student, but just a fun, it really comes through in her letters that she's a enthusiastic person, so it's a good fit. But I don't speak Spanish and I don't read Spanish, but I have a job where I work with many Spanish, well, not many, but a regular group of Spanish interpreters. And so this is now a group project because every letter I get from her, in fact, I mean, I see them and they go, "Have you heard from Francesca? What's going on?" And, they always translate the letters for me and then help me write her back. And so it's really neat. And although unfortunately none of them have offered to become sponsors, at least in a funny way, it's kind of expanded out. I mean, they have become really engaged with this program. And I just want to add one other thing. I've been involved a little bit in some other international assistance programs. I've gone to a lot of presentations about international assistance. I've read books about it. And this is a terrific program. This is the kind of program that is right. It's small. It's really hands-on. You really know what's going on. You really know about the child you sponsor. Before I was in this program, I sponsored some children through some other programs, and they were okay, but you really didn't get that sense of personal involvement. It was much more remote. And this program, and I think this is true of a lot of these programs, but this program not only really helps that child, but it helps that family get on their feet. And that's crucial. I mean, think about it. You can't just help the child. You've got to help the family, at least to some extent. I mean, sanitation and nutrition and some of those things. And they've got a library and a health clinic and really critical, critical services. Okay.
I really must correct something that you said about health services. We did see ourselves forced to close the clinic just very recently, and it was a matter of survival. But because there are other clinics that give the same services nearby, I didn't feel too badly about it. But recently, I was terrified that I was going to have to close the library. That would have been tragic because not only is it a library, it also teaches all of the girls the basics of computers. And the older girls will be writing to their sponsors by internet, by email. And we teach them the basics like Word, Excel, what they need for any little job beyond domestic downtown. And to lose that, I was just so unhappy. I was getting sick over it. And then I appealed to some of our longer lasting sponsors, and I got someone who is going to pay the salary of the librarian. So what a breath of relief, because that was really making me physically ill. It was just a horrible thought. But everything's down, the economy, everything is lower, our donations are low, but the sponsors take care of themselves. The sponsorships take care of all of the programs except the library. And of course the clinic was a drain on our finances. So that was a help. Now we can get by. We can keep going. Gwen, would you please?
Well, I sponsored Argentina for 12 years. She started school when she was 7. And I've gotten letters from her over all these years, and I've got to watch her mature and grow. And I've been trying to learn Spanish. I just use the Spanish. At first I was using the Spanish dictionary and translating. It was really slow. And it's still really hard work for me to write in Spanish, but I really try. And I've been taking Spanish at OLLI. And so it's been a learning experience for me as well as for Argentina, who seems to be a really outstanding student. She has hundreds on her grade reports. And so I really hope that she'll be able to continue school and not have to stop and help support her family.
Thanks, Gwen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Argentina has a 97% average in all of her grades. She's amazing. And you see her in the middle at the top of that board. That's Argentina and the other two girls on the sides. And then below we have eight little ones that are waiting for sponsors. And so if there's anyone that wants to sponsor, one of them is taken. Little Paola has been taken. But otherwise, there are always children in need, and such terrible need. Like mother takes in laundry. Mother makes tortillas and sells them door to door. This is something we could not conceive of having to do. It's just incredible, the poverty. So if there are any sponsors out there, you would be most, most welcome. There are brochures in the back, and if you haven't already received one, and we would be very happy to have any of you on board. It is very rewarding. It just makes you feel so good to see somebody go through. We have had some wonderful successes, like our director there now. She studied with the help of some people in Arizona, Southeast Arizona UUs, and got her MBA and is now our CEO. That's a real progress. My own little girl, Maribel, and some of you met a long, long time ago when she was 10 years old when I brought her up here for a year. She went back and studied and got her degree in pharmacy and is now actually managing the dorm that I built for college students in the college town of León, which is the best place for college. And so two of our girls from Hinotega are now living in that dorm. And we have one who became a doctor, and the doctor from Arizona saw her through medical school and flew down to walk her down the aisle. And he was so proud and so happy. And she is a wonderful doctor working out in the boonies where she's needed. And we have had quite a few successes, and we want more. We're greedy. The more we can help, the better. So thank you so much.
Now, we do have a few minutes for comments or questions.
We have our director, Fanny. She lives right next door, which is wonderfully convenient for us. And she'll even come over and look at the email on the weekends and answer some things. I've told her recently, you really don't have to answer things immediately. I'm just one, not an early person, so I may do it at midnight. You don't have to answer me the next same day. But then we have our psychologist, Flor, who takes care of all of the problems with the girls. She tests them for their abilities for college. She visits the schools to make sure they're attending, because we've had a couple of frauds where girls were not going to school. They would sign up and bring their registration, but they weren't going. And one was actually a previous librarian. So she is no longer our librarian. But she visits the schools and makes sure of what's happening and asks the teachers any problems that come up. And she gives psychological reviews. She sends the kids to the doctors. If there's a problem with their eyesight, she'll do a brief screening, that sort of thing. She's just a wonderful plus for our program. It's really integrated with that and the library. Gloria runs the library, and she's not truly what you'd call a librarian. She got through high school and was working at one of the local grocery stores when she applied with us, and she's learned. In fact, the McCords that made the movie for us that some of you may have seen, actually their daughter taught Gloria the Dewey Decimal System. And at first we couldn't understand why she wasn't helping more. She didn't understand alphabetization. So that had to be taught first. And once she caught on to that, oh, she went like gangbusters. And she's very dedicated, works very well with the children,
and teaches computers. She has several certificates in computers. And then we have a messenger who goes also to the schools and does all kinds of work there and keeps up the grounds and mops and sweeps and so forth. But then we have three night watchmen who are there because there have been robberies in the neighborhood, and the people in the neighborhood feel a lot better because we have 24-hour surveillance there. We do have a lot of computers, a lot of nice things that would be very desirable for thieves. So we have, that is our staff. Right now we have eight people, and we have one person in Managua that we pay the salary for because they give us their umbrella for the 501c3 in Nicaragua. We have our own here, but in order to operate down there as a nonprofit, we had to be under the umbrella of another organization. But they're very compatible, and they work very hard to help us. Does that answer your question? Was there anything else?
How much does it cost?
Oh, excuse me, yes. It's $44 for a child from preschool through high school. If they go to college in town, it's $59 a month. And then there's another $25 that we ask for a holiday food basket around the holidays. If they go on to college in León, then it costs $150 a month because it requires room and board. The university is free, but they have to buy their textbooks. Can you imagine? Their school system is free all the way through. Better than ours. Anyway, but they do have to live there because it's much too far for them to commute. And but if they go in town, but there's some like medicine, pharmacy, and I can't remember what the, I think civil engineering, they have to go to León. They don't have it in our town. There really isn't much for them. Domestic, working as maids, babysitters, that's about it. And of course a lot of them get married thinking that's the way out, but you know, as I know, that that's no way out because the guy usually leaves them anyway and then they're stuck with a baby to take care of. No, it's without an education, it's bleak.
Well,
really.
I'm asking with a high school education.
Even with a high school education, they told me, what's the point? What's the point? Why do we go to high school? It doesn't do us any good. And actually, they're right. But then there are a lot of jobs, things that they can learn in town that they don't have to go to the big things. They can be accountants. They can get MBA in town. Fanny did, riding into town on the back of her husband's bicycle. There are beauty schools. There's, what do you call it, cake decorating, pastry making, things like that that they can study in after high school.
Vocational.
Yeah, vocational things, yeah. But there's not a lot of work to be had. I knew that question would come up. Tell you the truth, I don't care about the boys. That's pretty sexist, huh? But if there's money to send a kid to school, it's the boy that's going to be sent. And that's what we're trying to equalize. Give the women a chance. And it's been proven in studies all over the world that where women get educated, the birth rate goes down and the country progresses. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And yes, there are a couple of boys that really deserve a hand, and one of our people that go down every year are sending them money to go to school outside of our program totally because we just do not ascribe to that. We're hard-nosed. Good question. The mothers come and fill out an application, and then Flor goes to the home, investigates the conditions, the possibilities for the children, and we really look for the poorest of the poor, not for the brightest of the bright. We are trying to give those kids a chance that wouldn't otherwise have it. If they're really bright, somehow they're going to fight their way through and make it. But the kids that are really poor, there's no money in the family, they can't afford pencils and notebooks,
Those are the ones we want to help. And when we are satisfied that that's the case, that's when we look for a sponsor. And Florida will get a picture of the children and a little bit of a biography of them and their family. And you can see 8 of them up here.
I just had a comment that, you know, we're very capitalistic. I mean, what are you going to do with your education and all? But I guess the important thing here is the quality of life.
And you know their children will go to school because the family will now have a value for education. It's upward mobility. Yeah, it's not great, but you know the mother is going to teach the children things that she learned. It's inevitable. She's bound to pass some of what she's learned along, maybe even show them a book or two. There are no books in these homes, none at all. We have several groups that do that. The Women's Federation of PUC, the Pacific Unitarian Church, the Women's Federation pays for one child. The Methodist Church in Lake Forest or Mission Viejo, I can't remember, they also pay for one child. So, yes, that's perfectly acceptable. We do need one person that's going to be the spokesperson, though, that will make the contact and maintain the relationship with the child. It's important that that child knows that somebody cares about them, not just send the money, but somebody that will send a pretty card once in a while, make sure she gets a birthday gift. That is just a little extra money that you send to Circulo, earmarked for the birthday, that sort of thing. They have to know that somebody cares. Thank you all.